I love to preach on heaven. But let me qualify that. I love to preach on heaven that's in the Bible. Because today, heaven is really, people have this idea that heaven is whatever I want it to be, whatever I dream it to be, that will be heaven. So if you like to fish, heaven will just be fishing in all these amazing, wonderful lakes. If you like to drink, heaven will be a huge bar, and you will just get to drink as much as you want, wherever you want, and there won't be any hangovers. If you like celebrities, heaven will be the place where you will meet all your favorite celebrities. You'll get to meet John Wayne. You'll get to meet Elvis Presley. You get to meet whoever else is out there. And every celebrity is going to be there, because I know this, because every time one of them dies, they might make a little cartoon about the celebrity entering heaven and talking to Peter, and there's always some kind of little funny quip in there. But the bottom line is, today people don't take heaven seriously, and heaven is kind of a joke. It's just something that people laugh at, and they make a funny thing about the pearly gates, people don't take it seriously, and then there's the idea that we're going to be floating around on a cloud somewhere playing a harp. So as long as we have these ideas about heaven, as long as we entertain them, we're never really going to understand the reality of heaven. Heaven is a real place. Last week we were in Revelation chapter 21. We saw some amazing pictures of heaven. We saw that it was a place of direct fellowship with God. It was a place free of all the evils of this world, and a place of unmatched beauty. Today we're going to focus on what heaven means to us and how heaven will help us. And I have always loved the gospel song that I sang today. I've got a mansion over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old, and someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk on streets that are purest gold. I've always loved that song. And as much as I enjoy the song, heaven is so much more than just a mansion. So today I want to give you a couple descriptions of our eternal home. And they're not descriptions that most people assume when they think about heaven. The first description, our eternity with God will be a community of believers. Now, when you think of community, you think of a group of people that have a common history. So what is the history going to be like in heaven? So turn with me to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, and I want to look at verse 12, and then I want to jump to verse 14. This is a description of the New Jerusalem. It had a great high wall and 12 gates, and on the 12, with 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now looking here at verse 14, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So the history of this community in heaven goes back into Bible history. It mentions the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. This is the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. So will we be able to talk to the saints of old? Will we be able to hear their stories? I don't doubt it. Now, right now, we have people that are intent on destroying and rewriting our past history. The history of God's people continues on into eternity. The Bible is a treasure book of valuable history. It teaches us valuable lessons for today, so people who disregard the Bible are going to be disappointed in heaven. Heaven will be God's people from the past of the Old Testament and all through human history. And then we have a puzzling scripture. This is still Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to be looking at verse 24. This again is talking about the city of God and how the city doesn't need light. And then look in verse 24. It says, the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. So who are the nations? And who are the kings? In Revelation, we see that hostile nations are destroyed. So here in eternity, this picture, we see nations honoring God. John pictures eternity with God as nations and civilization. Communities also have their own culture. Remember, we're dealing with symbolism. We're dealing with the apocalyptic literature. So instead of nations at war that we see in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see a culture of peace and we see healing. Revelation 22:2 says the tree of life has leaves for the healing of the nations. So instead of there being war, instead of nations working together like they are right now, trying to find a cure for a virus, we're going to see a culture of healing free of disease. But if you read this whole passage, you'll see kings, you'll see apostles, you'll see nations, and they all point to a culture of beauty, a culture of good things that bring glory to God. So will heaven have art? Will heaven have music? Will heaven have architecture? It's a culture that's going to shine God's glory. The clearest picture we have of eternity with God is a community. Now, we like to individualize. In America, everything is about me. This is what we do in America. So in heaven, I'm going to live on a cabin in peace and quiet and right in front of a big lake. I'm going to grow a garden with my wife, and I'm going to drink beer, and I'm going to go fishing all day, and nobody better bother me in my cabin. Okay, nice to dream, but nothing like this is in the scripture. Or heaven will be the ultimate shopping experience. There'll be amazing accommodations. I'm going to have my own personal masseuse for massages, and I'm going to drink wine all day. I'm going to enjoy the best wine. You see, we've missed what the scripture says. Heaven is about Jesus. Heaven is about the people of God. It's a community that gathers. It's a community that interacts. It has a history. It has a culture. So anyone who doesn't want to be around Christians or gather with them, they're not going to enjoy heaven, because heaven is all of God's people joined together to bring glory to God. So what will we do in heaven? Second description will be forever worship, eternal worship. So to get an accurate picture of heaven, we must look beyond ourselves. We must look beyond what we want, and we see what John pictures. Look in here, Revelation 21, and I want to read verses 22 through 27. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring splendor into it. On no day will the gates ever be shut, and there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anything that does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. In the scripture, when we think of darkness, darkness symbolizes evil. But notice all the descriptions of light here. It says there'll be no temple. There'll be no places of worship. There'll be no church buildings, because we will be in the presence of God all the time. We'll talk with God. We'll praise Him. John pictures it as a city. A city of complete purity, no sin, no shame, no evil, just the complete presence of God. And the image broadens in chapter 22. Look at the first five verses. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb, and down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit and yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healings of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see his face. His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. John pictures an eternity with God as the Garden of Eden merged with an amazing city of God. And just like Eden, there will be a beautiful tree of life. Here we have picture amazing beauty, and we see crops. So what will we do? Verse 3 says, the throne of God, the Lamb, will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Heaven will be a place of worship and service. So how will we serve him in heaven? So how do we serve him right now? Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So right now, as we're living our lives, whatever we're doing, we're trying to do it for the glory of God. In heaven, we will continue with our individual personalities, free of sin, free of impurity, and we will have individual ways that we serve God. So what will we do? Will I preach? Will I sing? Well, I sure hope so. Lord, I'm putting a request in right now. I want to sing. But we all have gifts, and we all have talents. Will we get different talents in heaven? Maybe, sure. But whatever we do, it's going to be fulfilling. It's going to be pleasing to God. Obviously, it's going to be pleasing to us, because that's what heaven is. Now, there's been some crazy, stupid songs written out here that if heaven's not like this, I don't want to go. Well, we're making it about us. Again, heaven will be free of selfishness. It'll be about Jesus. Revelation 22:4 says they will see his face. Moses couldn't see his face, but in heaven, the barrier of sin is removed, and we will have complete fellowship with him. Verse 4, his name will be on their foreheads. Again, we have symbolism. We will belong to God. We love God. We worship him now. In heaven, we belong to God, and we will worship with him there. And we will be joined with God, and it says, and we will reign forever and ever. Not a limited amount of time, not for 1,000 years. Reigning is a metaphor for sharing Christ's power. Don't miss the symbolism. If it was literally reigning, who would we reign over? So the picture is one of worship. Now remember, if you go back to the beginning of the Bible started with worship, Adam and Eve. It was the goal that God created creation for. In heaven, worship is restored. All creation joins in complete worship to God. And so this vision comes to an end with these words. Look at verse 6 of Revelation 22. The angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophet, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. So John then returns to his letter, the letter that he started at the beginning to the seven churches. So what do we take away from all these beautiful words about heaven? Let me give you three purposes today for the words. One purpose of these words is they are written to wow us. God gives these Christians who are suffering, who are being tortured, and he gives them an amazing, beautiful picture that's going to encourage them and help them and say, wow, this is what's coming. And it blows their mind, and they're excited about it, and that's the purpose. Because we all naturally yearn for something beyond this world. We all do. Remember back in the good old days when we used to go to movies? That's a long time ago. We would all go to movies to get away, to enjoy breaking away from reality right now. Or we would go to Disney World, you know, with thousands of people, can't have to stand all day anyway. Go to Disney World. The idea is to get away, to find something that you don't find every day that's not in this world. Well, John gives us a picture of how eternity will be. to amaze us, to encourage us, to give us something that we can set the course of our life on in human imagery at its very best. He's showing us a reality. It's going to be better than we can ever imagine. I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He has a beautiful way of saying this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, "It is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him." God has prepared eternity for us because he loves us. And when we read these words, all we can say is, wow. Now, another purpose of these words, they are written to warn us. Amidst all the beauty of heaven, there's so many warnings, because heaven will not have any impurities. There won't be any addictions. There won't be lying. There won't be shameful behavior. Those people who mess around with witchcraft and sexual immorality, those who practice falsehood, just like the rest of the Bible, great blessings of God are tied to conditions. Listen to this warning here. Now, I will say this warning is probably one of the most repeated warnings. And this is in Revelation 22 and verses 18 and 19. "I warn everyone who hears the words of prophecy in this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes away the words from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and the holy city, which are described in this scroll." The warning is not to people that might accidentally misinterpret Revelation. This is a warning to people that intentionally misrepresent what the Bible says. And what a picture for the world today. That's what's happening in the world. People are parading around. They are showing off sin that is clearly taught about in the Bible, and they're doing it proudly and arrogantly, and some of them are just using the Bible. They'll even use a Bible scripture to try to justify their belief, and they form their own churches so that they can just come apart and believe what they want to believe. And then there's some people that are using the Bible for their favorite charity, which is themselves. These people will not be in heaven. That's the warning. And see, the truth is, heaven is not for everybody. That's the point of these one points, these two chapters. Heaven's not going to be for everybody. So you can't be on the fence. Either you choose Jesus, either you give him your life, either you pray to him and you worship him and you serve him and you submit your life to him, or you don't. God's people are going to mess up. They're going to do things that are condemned in the Bible, but they don't continue to live their life in that way. They don't proudly parade that sin around. So we need to live our lives in a sober, alert way and do what's right. Either we choose Jesus or we don't choose Jesus. You can't be on the fence. Now, I've been to funerals, and I've done funerals where before the service, they will put a whiskey flask in the casket. You know, and they'll all giggle, "Oh yeah, this is a wonderful little thing." They'll remember the times that they party. Or after the funeral, then they'll go out and party, have a big drinking party over this time. But please understand, that has nothing to do with heaven. Nothing. And that kind of behavior is not going to be in heaven. So, either we choose Jesus or we don't choose Jesus. And that's the warning. That's the warning. These are beautiful things that are possible for us, but we have to choose us. A third purpose, and I think probably the most beautiful, is to welcome us. When I read these words in Revelation 21, 22, I'm encouraged. I'm uplifted. These are chapters meant to be inviting meant to be appealing to us. Everything's perfect. We're going to be free of hurt. We're going to be free of the sin of this world. There's going to be a beauty beyond what we can imagine. It's also written to draw people that are curious about Jesus. Wow, there's something better waiting. Listen to these words, and this is Revelation 22 and verses 12 through 14, and then going to jump to 17. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and Omega, first and last, beginning and end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, and they have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. And verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who's thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. See, it's a beautiful invitation. All these beautiful things that we read about are available to us. They're freely given by God, but a person has to come. They have to respond. It says right here, it's a free gift. It's pictured as water to a thirsty person. My daughter and I were really hot this week. We loved our water, didn't we? When you're really thirsty, water is so refreshing. That's what this is described as. When you come to God, all of your needs are met. Whatever that deep need of your heart is, God will meet it. If it's loneliness, if it's a lack of purpose, if it's a lack of meaning, if it's a lack of joy, if it's a lack of love, eternity fulfills all of those. And we all have things, this is important to remember, we all have things in our heart that cannot be fulfilled in this world. No matter how hard you try, there's going to be things that just are not going to be filled. So the invitation goes out to people. For the Christian, these are words that we live by. We adjust how we live our life. We adjust our daily life to the future promise. These are welcoming words. Jesus says, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me. Our purpose, our response is to say, amen. Come, Jesus. The old gospel song. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Heaven is real. It's not something to be trivialized. It's not something to be made fun of, made light about. It's real. It's given as a gift to us. It comes with a real invitation by Jesus himself, but it's given with a warning. It's given with a sense of urgency, and I know many people are just going to brush aside a message like this. But have you thought about it? I mean, if you're hurting, Jesus can heal your hurt. If you're lonely, Jesus can take care of the loneliness. Jesus can fill your need. If you are ashamed of sin and guilt, Jesus has forgiven that, and he can make you feel so much cleaner. Do you know if you left this world that you would be with God? You can't earn heaven. It's given by his grace. So we're going to sing that beautiful song of amazing grace. And the invitation goes out, and Jesus says, come, come. So let's all stand as we sing Amazing Grace.